Title: Catch at a Straw. Author: Fusarian. Rating: PG. Characters: Castiel, Claire. Spoilers: The Rapture. Warnings: Implied violence. Word count: 1,200. Summary: Angels keep odd hours. Read by Blaisk. Claire wakes up to a nightmare. Her father is standing over her, sopping wet and smelling of earth and old blood. She feels her mouth fall open in a scream, but no sound escapes. "Shh," he says, one long finger pressing against his own lips. "You'll wake your mother." His voice dips down softly, distant rolling thunder, and hairs jump to life on Claire's bare arms. Instinctive fear coils deep in her stomach, and she sits bolt upright, nails digging into her legs to keep from flinging herself at the thing masquerading as an actual person. Not her father, not hers, not anything but wind and light that burns like ice. She tries to say its name, but her throat closes up. God, she thinks, and Dad, both of them right and wrong, and still not what she means. The angel's name spins in a reel inside her head, and he smiles at her as if he knows her thoughts, lopsided like Jimmy's, like he has never learned how to do it properly. "Not your father," he says, unnecessarily. He kneels by her bed, the rustle of his coat loud enough to set Claire's teeth on edge. "Don't scream." That galls her enough to speak. She has never screamed in her life. "I wasn't going to," she whispers. "Am I dreaming?" "I'd give you better dreams than this, so no." Castiel smooths his hand over a wrinkle in her sheets, tucking it down, and Claire sees it shake. His face is illuminated by the streetlight outside, an explosion of bruises across his right cheek and eye, drying blood splattered from hairline to neck, dyeing the white collar of his shirt purple. She really wants to scream now, but Castiel would hate that. Might even fly away like a startled bird. So she bites her lip and goes still as she can. Her heart jumps when Castiel moves, but it's only to sit back on his heels, his fingers dragging claw-like across her bedspread, leaving stains. "I didn't know where to go," he says casually, as if he's carrying on a separate conversation with someone else entirely. "So I came here, just like last time. Let me in. Let me help. I can save him." Her father never had a chance to warn her how easy it was to say yes. These days, she feels small for her skin, with Castiel's presence not there to fill it. And she flounders in the mundane, held back by duties of schoolwork and dentist appointments and broken mothers. Castiel showed her greater things, too high up for her to see alone. And she is no longer content to scrounge at the dirt. This great and terrible thing, with eyes as hard as iron, and hands so soft, she wonders how he manages to hurt anything. She felt him inside her, every part of him, even the parts no longer there, throbbing emptiness, like phantom pains where his brothers had scorched the wickedness clean from his soul. Yet he fell, anyway. Claire feels guilty about that, imagines it had something to do with her. How could it not? She gouges her nails deeper into the flesh of her legs, a burn working its way up her body, tears prickling her eyes. Castiel scowls, and that's not a familiar expression on her father's face at all. At least, it's never been directed at her before.
Don't cry,
he snaps. But he sounds a little panicked, too. That is familiar. Jimmy always told her he could stand anyone's tears but hers. I'm not, she says, voice rising, narrows her eyes in an effort to keep control. Castiel's hand curls into a fist beside her knee, and she darts a quick look down, traces the curves of knuckles and delicate wrist bone. She never before noticed so many details about her father until he was gone. Castiel's lips twitch downward at the corner, an irritated tick, stress tight in every line of him. He stares at her searchingly, then frowns, as though not impressed with what he finds. This was a mistake, he mutters. His finger plucks at the coverlet, neatly trimmed nails clotted with dirt, and maybe blood, maybe something else, eyes traveling over Claire's head and beyond. Claire fidgets, unused to such a lack of attentiveness from her father. That, too, is a new discovery. How much of Jimmy made up her world? The epicenter. God. Her best friend. No, she thinks. No, you've come back. It's not a mistake. But Castiel either doesn't hear her or doesn't want to. What is? Claire asks. She'll say anything, do anything, if Castiel won't leave. Is my dad okay? Do you need... Am I... The words won't come, but it's not necessary. Castiel will hear her anyway. He has to. Jimmy is with me, Castiel says, like that's an answer. I must leave. He stands up, wavers unsteadily, and Claire launches up as well, scrambling off the bed. Again? Panic runs wild through her, and her feet land with a thud on the floor. He is leaving because of what she's said, or hasn't said. It doesn't matter which. Don't go, she pleads. She remembers to keep her voice down, but all she wants is to shout and hurl her fists at the angel, clutch at his coat, and drag him back into the darkness of her room where he's safe. That would not make him happy. She knows he hates small spaces. And her vessel is so very small. But what else can she do? He won't take her with him. Despite his announcement of departure, Castiel remains in the room long enough for Claire to reach him, and she does so at a near run, hits his side hard enough to unbalance a man. He's still strong enough, though, that it hurts Claire more than him. Her fingers come up, curling into the fabric of his shirt. He doesn't smell like Jimmy at all. He makes a low, irritated noise, almost a growl, but doesn't move. And she persists, burying her face into his coat. She feels warmth and slickness against her cheek, either rainwater or blood, and it makes her wonder if the latter is his. Still so wet, it must be. Claire. He sighs out her name, and she flinches, holds on that much tighter. His hand comes down on her head, fingers twisting in strands of hair, sticky and making tangles. You were never supposed to wake up. A hysterical laugh bubbles up to her throat, and she presses her face to his arm to stifle it. A lot of things were never supposed to happen, she says. But it's muffled against his sleeve, and he pretends not to understand.